Sarvesham.
Of all. Naha. Of us. Samagataha. Arrived. Translation. This frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There is no superior power which can check the cruel hands of death. No one wants to die, however acute the source of bodily sufferings may be. Even in the days of so-called scientific advancement of knowledge, there is no remedial measure either for old age or for death. Old age is the notice of the arrival of death, served by cruel time, and no one can refuse to accept either summon calls or the supreme judgment of eternal time. This is explained before Dhritarashtra because he might ask Vidura to find out some remedial measure for the imminent fearful situation, as he had ordered many times before. Before ordering, however, Vidura informed Dhritarashtra that there was no remedial measure by anyone or from any source in this material world. And because there is no such thing in the material world, death is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is said by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita, 10:34. Death cannot be checked by anyone or from any source within this material world. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal and underwent a severe type of penance by which the whole universe trembled. And Brahma himself approached him to dissuade Hiranyakashipu from such a severe type of penance. Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma to award him the blessings of immortality. But Brahma said that he himself was subject to death, even in the topmost planet. So how could he award him the benediction of immortality? So there is death even in the topmost planet of this universe. And what to speak of other planets, which are far, far inferior in quality to Brahmaloka, the residing planet of Brahman. Wherever there is the influence of eternal time, there is this set of tribulations, namely birth, disease, old age, and death, and all of them are invincible. Om jnana tmarandasya jnanam dana shalakaya chakshur unvilatam vena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam hena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svabhadhantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagama Bhagavanatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagama Ravita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांध राधाकांध नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च वदितानं भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. So before I begin, I'd like to simply beg the indulgence of all my senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who are here. I'm very arrogant to sit on this big seat, but they asked me to do so, so please forgive me. It's very nice to be back here in Mayapur Dham after too long an absence. I'll try to speak something on this subject here of the Guru's instructions to Dhritarashtra. And in reviewing this chapter, I came to the preliminary conclusion that the theme here is time, is the Kala. Kala appears in this chapter 19 times. And I'd like to read just a little bit of the surrounding information that we were getting from Vidura on this inevitable and invincible force of time. In a previous verse, two verses back, we heard, insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thoughts. And then later on in this chapter, we'll read in text 46, this gross material body made of five elements is already under the control of eternal time, kala, action, karma, and the modes of material nature, guna. How then can it, being already in the jaws of the serpent, protect others? So this is Vidura's statement. The previous statement was introductory. And in this purport to text 46, Srila Prabhupada summarizes the whole theme of this chapter. Although above the modes of nature is eternal time, which is called kala because it changes the shape of everything in the material world. Even if we are able to do something temporarily beneficial, time will see that the good project is frustrated in the course of time. The only thing possible to be done is to get rid of eternal time. I'll read that again. The only thing possible to be done is to get rid of eternal time, kala, which is compared to kala sarpa, or the cobra snake whose bite is always lethal. No one can be saved from the bite of a cobra. The best remedy for getting out of the clutches of the cobra-like kala, or its integrity, the modes of nature, is bhakti yoga, as it is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 14.26. And of course, that's mamchi yoga vicharena bhakti yoga nisevate sogonam savatityayatam brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who renders devotional service unto me, says Krishna, unfailing in every circumstance, transcends the modes of nature and becomes situated in the Brahman platform of beyond time. The highest perfectional project of philanthropic activities is to engage everyone in the act of preaching bhakti yoga all over the world, because that alone can save the people from the control of maya, or the material nature represented by kala, karma, and guna, as described above. So, it is Vidura's mercy that he has come back to the home. As it's described earlier, sannyasis generally don't come back to the home that they left. But he's doing so simply to show his mercy to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is deeply in the meshes, in the grip of this kala sarpa, this snake of time. Yet because of the power of illusion, he refuses to see the inevitable end, which is his death. He will have to be kicked out of that home anyway by death. He's going to be ripped out. And yet even though his liver is defective, his teeth are loose, he's old, he's lost all the kingdom, he's been humiliated by having to take remnants of the food of Bhima, who killed all of his sons, still he's relaxing at home, enjoying the full position of a king, being honored by Yudhisthira, who is very devoutly serving him as an elder. There's no fault in his part. But in that comfortable position, Dhritarashtra is forgetting the Atmatattva. He is blind to that. And this theme is right there at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. King Parikit, being a Vaishnava, as soon as he was cursed by Srini, he immediately gave up his kingdom, he gave up all of his comforts, he took off his godly dress, he accepted it as a blessing rather than a curse, and he sat down on the bank of the Ganges to hear the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva. Dhritarashtra is need to be pushed. He is not a Vaishnava. he has offended the devotees, especially the Pandavas, by indulging his son, Duryodhan, in all of his nefarious plans to kill the Pandavas, to usurp the kingdom, culminating in this horrific war of Kurukshetra, in which there was practically mass annihilation, except for the Pandavas and their grandson, Parikit, who is the heir to the kingdom. So Dhritarashtra is not about to immediately jump up and start chanting Hare Krishna. He will be able to practice this Ashtanga Yoga and eventually annihilate his body, and it's mentioned later that he attained liberation. But Parikit shows by contrast how a Vaishnav reacts to the coming of inevitable time in the form of the curse in the case of Parikit. Now, you remember at the beginning of the second canto, when the Bhagavatam proper actually starts, Shukadeva is answering that question. Exactly. What should one hear about? What should one think about? What should one meditate about when death is approaching right at the doorstep? And so those few verses at the beginning of second canto exactly echo this theme, and I'd like to just review them. You may recall that first Shukadeva praises Parikit for his question. Your very question is glorious because it elicits talk or instruction on Atma Tattva, on the truth of the soul and the Supreme Soul, the relationship, and it therefore does welfare for the whole world. On the other hand, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Vinam Santi Tahashrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Gahamedina. Dhritarashtra is the emblem here of the Grihamedi. Those whose intelligence is simply focused on the Griha, and who are trying to enjoy, even to the last second, the comforts of home. And so, on the other hand, those who have no vision of Atma Tattva, the truth of the self, the need for inquiring into the absolute truth, they have millions of subject matters for hearing, which have nothing to do with Krishna, and simply which bewilder the mind and bring one deeply into the clutches of the modes of nature and the snake of time. So then he describes in a nutshell the life of such ignorant fools. Nidriyahriyatinaktam devayena sabhavaya vivachatihyarajam kutumba varanenava. This is material life in a nutshell. At night, simply sleeping or having sex life. During the day, earning money like crazy in order to support the family. And on the weekend, go shopping. This is life in the West. And whoever takes on the Western mentality in any part of the world. Working, 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 artha kama, artha kama, artha kama. Making money, trying to increase one's comfort and pleasure in this material world, forgetting all about time. And that everything will be taken away. One's youth, one's health, one's life, one's money, everything is taken away by time, ultimately, completely by death, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Vishcharam. So, in this situation, one tries to take shelter and protection from various soldiers. Dehapatya Kalatradi Shatmasainish Vasatsvapi Kesham Vamakto Nidanam Pashyam Patina Pashyati. Precisely describing Dhritarashtra. One takes shelter of the fallible soldiers, first the body. Keep the body very strong and fit as far as possible. And then you have your children, you have your wife, etc. etc. The bank balance, the insurance policies, the extended family, the nation with its defense industry, the police, you see, big walls around your house. So many ways we try to protect against the difficulties of material nature. But these are all fallible soldiers. They're all inevitably going to be swept away by the force of time. So Tesham Pamatto, such a fool, such a mad person, Pamatto, even though seeing, as Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, we have already seen that our father or our father's father has already died. We have seen that so many others have passed away, that whole kingdoms and empires have been swept away by time. You see? And yet still we're thinking, oh, this American empire, this is going to last. We have the strongest defense industry that there's ever been. We spend $450 billion a year. No one, everyone must be afraid, you see. And yet, you know, a couple of guys with box cutters, you know, can take over a plane and knock down billion-dollar buildings, you see. A few madmen in a germ lab somewhere can create some bacteria and create a horrible disease that no one can stop. There's no stopping this, a force of time and danger. And this is why fear is another symptom. Because all of this kala sattva, the gunas, the karmas, all of this change and this threat produces in the heart great fear. You see? Sadasambhudhindadhyanasabrahat. Pallava Maharaj preaching fearlessly to his father. He was always afraid that Vishnu was coming to kill him. Most powerful in the universe. Pallava, just a little boy, fragile little body, supposedly. He's preaching fearlessly to his father. Oh, best of the demons, get out of the house! Just like he said here. Get out of the house, which is a blind world. Go to Vrindavan. Go to the forest. You see, and take shelter of Hari, who Hiranyakashipu thought was his archenemy. But why are you so disturbed? Why is your mind always worried? Sadasabhudhindha diyam asatrahat. Because you're grabbing onto, holding onto for dear life, that which is asat, temporary. You're in the ocean of material life, and you're holding on to a life preserver that is leaking air. Is it? You're holding on to something that is inevitably going to fail you. That's what fallible means. It fails. All of these soldiers, the body, the wife, the money, the insurance policy, the state, everything fails. So if you put your faith in that which fails, naturally you're in anxiety. But even though this is obvious to anyone with a little intelligence, apashyata, it's a tesham pamato nidhanam pashyam api na pashyati. Seeing, it's happened in the past, destruction, still they don't see. This is Maya's illusion. Maya jivanikachannam. It's like a curtain. Or more precisely, it's like a distorting lens. You see? You think you're seeing, but you're actually seeing completely fallaciously. It's like a dream world. Prabhupada makes that point in the purport to this verse. This purport is worth reviewing. It's Dehapatya Kalatradish. He says that this whole world is moving by the modes of nature, just like an ocean. The ocean of samsara, you see? And the foam and the bubbles come together in that ocean in the form of our living conditions, such as the body, our friends, our family, you see, etc., home, so forth. So bubbles are very, very fragile. At any moment they come and then they disappear. But because we have no atmatattva, because we have no vision of the self or an interest in that which is beyond this change, we are victimized by ignorance. It's a very nice phrase. We are victimized by ignorance, and therefore we become extremely fearful in this situation. So Shukadev Goswami goes on, after these two concise verses describing the situation of the material life, he gives the solution. He says, Tasmat, therefore, Bharata, Bharata Saravatma, Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari, Shrotavya, Kititavyascha, Smartavya, Chaitita Bhayam. For those who wish fearlessness, this is the only solution. You must hear about, chant about, and remember, and then he gives no doubt who he's speaking of. He gives four words that mean Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, Saravatma, the Super Soul, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, and Hari, Krishna, he who takes away all our anxiety and so many things. So this is the solution. And what is the result? Etavam, Santiyo, Gavyam, Svadharma, Padinishtaya, Chunmalava, Podakpungsam, Ante Narayana Smriti. Parikit has come to the anta, the end of his life, and so is the Dhritarashtra. Parikit is properly hearing Bhagavatam so that he will remember Narayan at the end of life. Dhritarashtra, he's not going to be able to do that. He will be able to attain a higher destination by the good instruction of Vidura. So this is a very important verse, Etavan San. When you see a verse that begins with Etavan, or Etavad, it's often like a summary verse and it's worth focusing on and remembering. There's about a dozen of them in the Bhagavatam. So this one says, whatever you practice in the terms of Sankhya, analyzing this world, yoga, meditation, or activity in your own Swadharma, in your own life, its fruit, the fruit of your life will come, of your birth, will be, if you can remember Narayan, at the end of life. And so, the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is the sum and substance of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is teaching us how we can become free from fear, even in this world of change and world of time, by cultivating constant remembrance of Krishna. That alone can give the relief from fear, because it lifts us right above and beyond the grip of Kala Sarpa, out of the modes of nature and out of the modes of change. So I'd like to read a few more verses. First of all, in this purport, Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna himself identifies himself with time. And he does so three times in the Bhagavad Gita. Now we know anything that's repeated three times is very, very important. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam. Kalo nasteva, 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 gatera, nyata. And in this age of Kali, there is no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way to achieve the final goal of life but to chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. So similarly, the fact that Krishna identifies with Kala or time is very significant. He says, Kala Kaliyata Maham, this is also in the 10th chapter, of subduers I am time. Time just subdues everyone. We may be very proud, especially when you're young, you feel invincible. When you're 18, 19, many of you would think back, if you were devotees then, you know, you can feel, oh, this is why they draft 18, 19-year-olds into the army. Because they can go out and they can forget that they can die at any moment and they can become soldiers very easily, reckless. So, but that's of course a grand illusion. As time goes on and you can feel your body, you know, kind of getting older, a little rickety here and there, you start to feel that, whoa, whoa, you know, I'm not really invincible, I'm very fragile. So Krishna is the subduer of all in the form of time. He also says, aham evakshaya kalo, I am also inexhaustible time. In this material world, time never stops, it just keeps pushing everything on toward ultimate destruction. And of course the most famous is Garus Viloka Chayakrit Pravidha in the 11th canto, when 11th chapter, when Arjuna is asking, who are you? He's seen this universal form, he's seen all of the soldiers entering into the mouths, being crushed. It's quite frightening to Arjuna as he sees this all-encompassing, all-powerful, multi-headed, multi-bellied form of Krishna, his friend, you know, suddenly in this form. And he asks, who are you? He said, Kalosmi, Loka Chayakrit Pravidha. I am time, time I am, and I have come to destroy all these worlds. You see. So, this is Krishna identifying himself as time. So, he's certainly the enemy of those, not by his own will, but by those who try to exploit this world, who are demons. Then time, they see God as time, as death. Inevitable death comes, invincible. Whereas devotees see Krishna, see God, as beautiful threefold bending form. They actually are meant to die to material attractions before the point of death. This is what sannyasa is all about. Giving up, civil death, family, friends, everything, comforts, right? Sannyas, complete nyas, complete renunciation. For the sake of full focus on Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others. That is Vidura's mood here. He's sannyasi. And another nice verse that describes this process, Ayo Hariti Vai Pung San. Udyanastam Vishanaso Tasyate Yachino Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. That the rising and setting of the sun takes away the life of everyone except those who spend their time glorifying Krishna. Now what does that mean? Everyone here is also ultimately going to die. We're going to leave this body. But the life of a Vaishnava is really not the life of the body. The body is simply a tool that he or she uses as long as it's able to be useful in Krishna's service. But the service goes on, the activity goes on beyond this body. Not so for those whose whole life is simply on the physical and mental realm. Everything is lost if all of your hopes and all of your prayers and all of your desires are tied up with things related to the body. Then death is a total disaster, an annihilation of your life. And you go on, you know not where, to another term within this material world. So in a very important way, the devotees, who are especially pure devotees who use every second for Krishna's service, are beyond the grip of time. And that's mentioned as one of the symptoms of ecstasy, of yartakalatvam, not wasting even a second. Seeing even a second apart from the remembrance of Krishna as a great disaster. Right? There could be no greater anomaly, there could be no greater problem than to forget Krishna at every moment. Just think what a wonderful platform that is. That is the Mahabhagava platform. If you read 11th canto, you'll find a wonderful description from the Yogendras about the qualities of the different levels of devotees. The Madhyama Adhikari, the Kanishna Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari, Uttama Bhagavata. So one of these qualities of the Uttama Bhagavata, Uttama Bhagavat, or Mahabhagavat, is that he or she is extremely reluctant to forget Krishna's lotus feet even for half a second. It says, Vaishnavagyaha means the foremost of Vaishnavas. So here's a description in three verses of what their quality is. So just imagine, for the sake of all the wealth in all three worlds. Now just imagine, if we were offered all the wealth in all three worlds, billions and billions of dollars, whatever it may be, you see? So maybe we could use it for Krishna. Sure, I'll forget Krishna for half a second for that, then I'll use it in the service. But these great Vaishnavas don't even want to compromise that much. For that sake, they will not forget Krishna's lotus feet for even half a second. And then it says, Bhagavata udavikramangri shaka nakamani chumdikayanavastatapi So Krishna's lotus feet are known as Urukram. They themselves perform wonderful activities. Bhagavata udavikramangri shaka nakamani chand. So there's an effulgence emanating from the toenails of those lotus feet. And that effulgence is more soothing and cooling for the meditating soul than millions and millions of moons, full moons. The moonlight is very soothing. The full moon comes down. Full moon shine. So that, and then what it soothes is any tapa, any misery in this world is totally transcended by such a meditation. Therefore, how can there be any possible difficulty for such a soul? You see? It's just like after, if you're in the desert all day and you're extremely hot and tired and exhausted, and then the moonshine comes up, you see the full moon comes up and you're soothed and cool. And then the last one, if I can remember, is Visuddhati Vidyam Niyasya Sakshat. Forget the Sanskrit. But what it says there is a very wonderful phrase, Pranaya Vasamaya. It means that Krishna never agrees to leave the heart of such a devotee. Because that such a devotee has tied his lotus feet to his heart with the ropes of love. And so this is the characteristic of the Uttama Bhagavata. So this is the characteristic of Parikrit, naturally, and Sukadeva Goswami, and also Vidura. So we should aspire to that point of never forgetting Krishna at any moment. There's a wonderful verse in the Padyavali describing one who spends all his day and night glorifying Krishna. And it has to do also with his passage of days. So it says, Aho, aho, dear, nakale vidyate. Sudha sudara mororam pade pade. Dine dine chandana chandra shitalam. Yasho yashora tamayasya giyate. He says there that because at every step they drink a flood of wondrous nectar sweet, whose cooling power, sandal paste enhanced with camphor, can't defeat, They feel as if the blazing days of Kali, the raging blaze, they feel as if the raging blaze of Kali's days had never begun. They feel as if the raging blaze of Kali's days had never begun. How blessed are they who fill their days with praise of Sri Yashoda's son. So this is how we can live in this fire of Kali Yuga and still be very cool. Is it? We feel as if we're floating along in a river of nectar if we can fill our days with praise of Sri Yashoda's son. So this some of the points I wanted to come to. And then what happens is that another aspect of time is that it's, as Prabhupada would famously say, conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. This famous description of the Goloka Vrindavan at the end of the near the end of the Brahma Samhita. Right? Lord Brahma is saying, Shriya Kanta Kanta Padama Padusha Kalpatarabo Vuma Bhumishchanda Manigana Mahito Yamatam Katajanam Natyam Kamanamati Vangshi Priya Sati Chidanandam Jyoti Padama Pitadasvati Mapicha Sayatra Chira Di Sravati Sudabin Vyasta Sumahan Nimeshada Yoga Vachati Nihiyatra Pisamaya Vajay Shweta Dvipam Tamahamihago Lokamitiyam Vidantaste Santa Chiti Vidadachara Kitipaye. I worship that transcendental seat known as Shweta Dvip, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental desire tree, purpose tree. Where the soil is the Chintamani gem. Where all the water is nectar. Where every word is a song, where every step is a dance. And where the flute is the favorite attendant. Where effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. Actually, it says, Asvadin, one can directly taste this Chidananda Jyoti. Everything is emanating this effulgence. And where the numberless cows, Surabhi cows, are always flooding the land with oceans of milk. There is eternal existence of transcendental time, which is ever present and without passing away for even a second. There's no past and there's no future. And then he says, only a few pure souls know this world as the Goloka Vrindavan, who live on this planet, Earth. So this is the destination we should aspire for. And we can experience that sense even in this world. This is my career, my short career here in Krishna consciousness. So many things have changed. Right? So many things have changed. I've changed, my body has changed, certainly. Maya Pradham has changed enormously just in the last 9 years, last time I saw it. So many things have grown up. You see, there's so many more devotees. Things are changing because this is the material world. But the essence of who we are and what we worship and our philosophy, Lord Krishna, the gopis, all of those things never changes. Certainly the Hare Krishna mantra doesn't change. What will change, hopefully, is our appreciation for it, our deepening understanding and relish of it through progressive purification from offenses and aparas like that. But the foundation, all of these things are totally steady and rock-like. They haven't changed in ever, in eons. And they never will change. Krishna will never change. He will always be going through that cycle of Leela. He will always be meeting with the gopis and the coward boys, enjoying his pastimes for eternity. So this is a wonderful thing. If we can absorb our mind and our hopes and our aspirations in these matters, then we'll have this unchanging quality in our lives and we'll always feel youthful. Just as you see Srila Prabhupada, such a wonderful example of the enthusiasm and the energy of youth, even though his body was 70 or even 80 years old. He was so enthusiastic in his preaching and his activities, hearing, chanting, every aspect of devotional service. So that quality of changelessness will be there in our heart. And we won't feel this fear that comes when everything, all our hopes, are placed on the changeable and destructible material world. This is the real teaching that Vidura is giving Dhritarashtra. He's waking him up. He's really kind of, with words, slapping him in the face. Will you wake up? You know, Jee Jago. you're sinking down now into this morass of illusion, which is going to take you to a very low destination. And out of great favor and mercy and love, he's come back to the home to get Dhritarashtra out of there. The first words are, get out. The first words he speaks, isn't it? Get out of here. Right? And then he goes on to describe in very strong words why he should get out. Because it's very disgraceful, really, his position. So, now in the modern world, there's millions and billions of Dhritarashtras trying to hang on to the last moment, you know, in household life. Some retirement community. Oh, now we've worked all our lives. You know, in America, they have these. Now we can play golf all day, you know, and go to Winnebago and visit the places we didn't visit. You see? It's insanity. It's pramukta. And the end part of life is meant for progressive renunciation and cultivation of this knowledge. Because that critical point is coming when we'll have to leave this body. And if we simply wasted our life in sense enjoyment and sense indulgence, then who knows where we'll go? Certainly to a lower destination. Krishna says in the 14th chapter. So all of this is, this instruction is also meant for us, because the Bhagavatam doesn't compromise. Constantly, throughout all the cantos, we're having this contrast between the dangers and the evils of materialistic household life, sinful hedonistic life, and the great value of performing austerity, self-control, directing our mind and our intelligence toward the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cultivating our eternal awakening, our understanding of our eternal relationship with the Lord, leading us out of this the grip of time. As Prabhupada says, the only solution is to get rid of eternal time. Well, of course, eternal time will go on because it's eternal. But what we can get rid of is its influence over us if we can return back to this world where there is no past and there is no future. There is simply the eternal presence in eternal loving relationship with Krishna. So, is that, say, 5, 7 to 9 or so? Okay, we'll leave a little time for discussion or questions. Thank you very much for your attention. If anyone has comments or questions, we can indulge them now. Yes, Prabhu. Go ahead. I'll repeat the question. I don't think we have the mic there. Yes. Okay, the question is, the Kala Sarpa, the snake of time, takes everything away. And also, Krishna is known as Hari, he also takes everything away. So what is the difference? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mithu Sarva Haras Chaham, he even uses the word Hara, which is obviously the root, same word as Hari. But in one instance, the whole difference is, the consciousness of he who is having everything taken away. In one instance, Krishna is taking away out of a great favor. Yasya hamana vinnami harishye tattanam shanai. He says to Yudhisthira, this very Yudhisthira is listening very attentively here, later on in the 11th canto, when I really show my mercy on someone, you know, I gradually take away all of his wealth. You see. What does that mean? How is that mercy? Well, the idea is that when someone is basically a devotee, you know, he's really a Vaishnava, but there's a few little things that he's hanging on to that are actually impediments in his advancement, then Krishna will often rip those away, sometimes in what may seem immediately a painful way, but which shortly thereafter one realizes was great mercy. He said, Chitraketu is a perfect example. Chitraketu was really a great devotee, but he was totally hung up on his son, who he had gotten after long difficulty going into the whole. So, by Krishna's arrangement, that son was cruelly taken away from him, and then there was this incredible lamentation scene where he's practically banging his head against the walls, falling down unconscious in the palace, you know? But then, when, by the grace of Narada, the soul came back, and preached transcendental knowledge through the medium of that very sun, he awoke. And he then went on to his perfection. So Krishna does that out of his mercy. He takes away our attachments when they're impediments. We see they're impediments. So that's Hari. In the form of the Kala Sarpa, that's a different kind of taking away. That's when you're hanging on to it, you know, for dear life. You're not really a Vaishnav. Deep down, everyone's a Vaishnav, but your mentality is different. And it's simply the sudden, you know, when you're bitten by a snake, it's a very shocking thing. Right? If you're walking out here in the, heaven forbid, Krishna forbid, what you think, that it would happen to one of us here, but there are cobras around. Sometimes they come out when the floods are here, right? So if they bite you and there's no one around, you have no remedy, suddenly there's death taken away. But you're not, if you're not a devotee, you don't have any shelter. You don't have any to call out. It's just a very shocking experience. Things are equal. And that's the way people die in the hospitals and everywhere, where they're not surrounded by Vaishnavas chanting the holy name. They're not taking shelter of Krishna. They're not trying to turn their mind toward the Lord. And it's a horrible experience for them. They see the Yamadut is coming. You know, this is the difference. Krishna mercifully takes away, as he here is here, in the form of the Vaishnava. Vaishnava comes, the sadhu comes to cut the attachments, you see, through his words. And if we can receive them, we'll be blessed. Yes. Yeah. I mean, so the question is there Shastric evidence how a devotee leaves in contrast to how a materialist leaves? Well, we always hear, and this I think was mentioned about Srila Prabhupada's leaving, that auspicious leaving is leaving through the mouth. Yeah, or through the Brahmarandra. But there's, to my knowledge, I don't remember reading that there's the description of which avenue it leads. But the point is that one personality leaves, it's actually a festival. It's like Dhruva leaving. I was just reading recently the story of Dhruva. He placed his foot on the head of death and climbed into the Vaikuntha airplane. So there's no question of fear there. The whole problem is that you're fearful when you're afraid of things being taken away from you, when everything is being lost and you don't know what your destination is. If you have your assurance of going to Vaikuntha, the Vishnu Dutas have arrived in their airplane, you see, or something similar, then it is a great victory. And that's why we call it a samadhi. It's not a defeat. It's not a loss. So this is the main point. The technical aspects is something else. Yes, Guru? That's a good question. Right. So the comment is, it's a question that someone may use the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter where Krishna says if you accumulate some kind of punya, then you can again be born in a rich family. But it really says if your yoga is not complete, right, then you can be born in a wealthy family. But a better position is to be born in a family of yogis. In other words, even if you're very poor, if you're in a family of yogis, bhakti yogis, that's a much better position, as explained there. But you have to read the whole book. in the ninth chapter, Krishna is saying, Chine punne maki lokam vishante, evantihidam manopapanna katakatam kama kama vabante. He's saying, by all of this sacrifice and worshipping Indra, you can go to Indraloka, enjoy godly delights, drink the Soma Ras, and enjoy Vishala. You know, means for a long time. Great. But then when your punya is finished, like a credit card is up, you put it once more into the ATM, and it just spits it out. Sorry, there's nothing left. Then you have to go back to work. So then similarly, you have to come back down to earth, and again, work with karma, birth, death, you see? So he says, you just come and go. You don't solve the problem of life. You see? It's ultimately self-defeating. The things you enjoy in the heavenly planets are your worst enemy. Those are the things that are bewildering your mind. So he says, Ananyaschantiyam domam yajanapayapasate. On the other hand, those who worship me with one-pointed mind, I provide what they lack. I give them their yoga and chema, their necessities, their security. You see? And ultimately they get the great boon of coming back to me, no more birth and death. So, the calculation, you see, this is that the materialists are always trying to game the system. They're trying to game the system. You know, there's some way we can beat the system. Okay, so I may die in this world, I know I'm gonna die, but I'll worship Indra, I'll worship Chandra, you know, and I'll do much better in the next life. Yes, but the real Atma Tattva is you look for the eternal situation. Not even just for a million years in Indraloka. What is your eternal situation? That's what we're taught at the beginning. You know, to separate the sat from the asat. Right in the second chapter. That's the whole point. So those who are looking for, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years, a million years, 10 million years, that's still not long enough. Brahma, what did we just read? Even in Brahma Loka, they have to die, he's afraid, you know, of death, so many things. So beyond the fearful platform of dying or losing your accumulated wealth, the demigods are always getting kicked out by the demons from their planets, there's wars going on, and all they lose. There's no secure place in this world except the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madhava and the Sri Sri Guru. So we're a little bit over time, so I'd like to just, if I may not get another chance, so since I have a chance now. When we think about it, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, when he was sent out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was doing the exact same thing that Vidura is doing here. Isn't it? He was going around to all the homes, trying to wake the people up to Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lila Adana Puravabhava, you spend your day simply decorating your body. Don't you know that you're going to die soon? The same thing, right out of the Bhagavatam. Simply fill your mouth with the holy name of Sri Hari. So since there we have that connection, I'd like to share just a couple of verses from this Nityananda Ashtaka, which describes the advent of this preaching of Nityananda Prabhu. And it's really based on this phrase that Lord Chaitanya gave, which we can all emblazon in our heart. Bolo Krishna, Bodo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shikha. Isn't it? Worship, chant Krishna's name, worship him with love, serve him with love, and follow his instructions and teach them to others. Isn't it? So that is chant the Sri Krishna's name and worship him with all your heart, follow his instructions and to others them impart. So we can make a little plaque like that. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was started the preaching mission, he instructed Nityananda and Haridas to start going around in Navadvipa with this instruction. So there's a couple of verses in Nityananda Ashtaka I'll share with you and I'll let you go. So he says, Ehi Bhata Nrinam Kambikulishinam Kinna Bhavatam Tata Prayashchittam Vajayirana Yasitahime Vrananti Tham Ittham Sahabhagavata Mantriyatayo Vajay Vichyanandam Vajay Vichyanandam Vajay Vichyanandam Vajanata Dukhandam Hinavadi. So he says, he's speaking to Lord Chaitanya. He said, oh brother, Kali is ascended everywhere, increasing people's suffering. It's more than I can bear. Please give these fallen souls an easy process to attain the shelter of your lotus feet, the place beyond all pain. Instruct them all to chant Sri Krishna's name, the Lord replied, to worship him with love and by his teachings to abide. O friends entrapped in Kali's clutches, yearning to break free, Just worship Nityananda around the root of the bhakti tree. Just worship Nityananda around the root of the bhakti tree. Just worship Nityananda around the root of the bhakti tree. And then Lord Nityananda goes out. He says, oh friends, just chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. And also teach this process to your friends and family. Thus cross the sea of birth and death and be supremely blessed. Your liberation is the only alms that I request. Entreating us to save the people from illusion's thrall, he went to with upraised arms, he went to every home throughout Bengal. Oh, friends entrapped in Kali clutches, yearning to break free, just worship the down on their arm, the root of the bhakti tree. And then he says, oh, this is very English for a couple last two. He says, Anu Agastya Muni. Now, Agastya Muni is famous for drinking the ocean, for those of you who don't know. Anu Agastya Muni, with great force, he drinks the sea of birth and death. How loving and compassionate is he. For all his devotees, he is the best of rising moons, expanding wide the ocean full of transcendental boons, and for the many demons, filling people's hearts with dread. He is the sun dispelling all the darkness that they spread. O friends entrapped in Kali's clutches, yearning to break free, just worship Nityananda Ram, the root of the bhakti tree. He gently took his brother's soft and graceful lotus hand, and as he looked upon his face, he felt his bliss expand. Chaitanya also felt the same way as he looked upon the face of Nityananda, and he held him in a firm embrace. And then they started dancing through the streets of all the towns, their beauty filling every heart with joy that knew no bounds. Oh, friends and chaps in Kali's clutches, yearning to break free, just worship Nityananda Ram, the root of the bhakti tree. For Nityananda's devotees who relish mellow sweet, this poem is a precious nectar reservoir replete with endless waves and whirlpools of the deepest, sweetest love, beyond what even gods and goddesses are dreaming of. It has the power to deliver any fallen soul and place them at Sri Nityananda's feet, our final goal. May those who hear these transcendental verses I impart forever see his lovely lotus feet within their heart. Shri Shri Gaurida Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. All glory, Shri Prabhupada.